to take the dent out of the bag.
Five on him. That's a classic right there.
I got five on it. Messing with that ain't no weed.
What does I got five on it mean?
It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm.
There you go. There you go.
Creep on in, on in, on in.
Can't believe how big they've got.
Did you hear Gabe got a boat?
He's kidding, right?
He's not kidding.
Hey, I think it's vodka o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Jason?
The Caesar salad with a hit.
It's the Boyle and Rojas podcast, episode 84. I'm Nick Rojas. He's Nick Boyle. What have we recently seen and not just seen? Because we'll get to it.
We have recently seen Us, Jordan Peele's new adventure.
That's right.
And we had to see this evening, which we are recording on a Wednesday night.
I like that you looked at your watch for that.
I had to know, but you can tell from my energy level that we just watched none other than the Razzie loser that we had to face. Because
this movie wasn't even bad enough to win worst movie. It was just bad.
But it was for us losing the Oscars, and that is gaudy.
The Oscar bet to dual redundancy. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
We're continuing our trend of mentioning dual redundancy every episode, and I love it.
Every episode.
It's a great streak. Yeah, we lost our bet. We'll get to Gaudi in a little bit. Let's talk about Us first. The latest, the follow-up by Jordan Peele to 2017's Get Out, which was nominated for 5 Oscars, including Best Original Screenplay, in which it won for Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele also comes back to, he wrote, directed, and produced this one. Us came out this year. It stars Lupita Nyong'o in her first starring role ever. We're just seeing a commercial for it right now. Yep, it is the number one movie in America right now. Currently, in the U.S. has made $70 million, and it was targeted to make only $45 million. So this is another hit on his hands. It actually made more than Get Out did on its opening weekend, $30 million. But again, let's go back. Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke playing the dad. And we should mention that a few people in this movie played two roles without spoiling it. And a few kid actors, Tim Heidecker and Elizabeth Moss, are also in this movie in hilarious roles. And it's the synopsis of this movie is a family goes to a beach vacation, kind of near the beach, a summer vacation, when all of a sudden four mysterious doppelgangers show up at their house in the middle of the night, and then chaos ensues. Boyle, quickly, let's go through, let's do the old format. What we like, what we didn't like, and then we'll get to our scores.
Okay. What we did like was Jordan Peele. He's just, he's a brilliant man. I mean, I don't know how he can think, he's totally the type of horror that we need right now. Yes. He's bringing what the Twilight Zone was to reality now in movie form for people to enjoy on a bigger level. And even though that he ironically hosts the Twilight Zone now.
You've been dying to say that.
Twilight Zone. I have been.
This movie is like the Twilight Zone, which is ironic because he's hosting that.
I know, right? I would say
you're fired up.
I
wish we could record episodes after you saw a movie because I know that you had that in your Letterboxd review.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's dying to get this out
there. Dying.
Can't wait.
But I just got to give him credit because I think that his mind and his visions are so, so intense and layered.
Yeah, he has.
And I love it.
He has very, he has an intense vision for things.
Yep. So that's one thing I liked. Mm-hmm. Why don't you say one thing you liked?
One thing I liked about this movie was the cinematography.
Okay.
There were several scenes in this movie that I thought, like, man, I'd love that as a poster. Like that scene of Lupita Nyong'o going down the escalator.
Yes.
With the lights all around her from the escalator and just like it being in the center, in the middle, and everything kind of converging towards a point. Things like that are beautiful. Other scenes that stick out in my mind is the man on the beach.
Yep.
The people in the driveway. Like there are like some great looking shots in this movie. So whoever did the cinematography, great job.
The mirrors in the funhouse.
Oh, yeah. There's some great cinematography.
Those were tense.
What's something else you liked?
Another thing I liked was, which I think you would probably mention after me, so I'm kind of glad I got the upper hand, is the soundtrack. I thought that the music was very well placed and well put in the, even though you've heard the sound in the trailer, dun, 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 and like
when
the,
that,
you
when
know,
that comes back in
when
the movie,
that comes it, back it, in, you're like, Oh no.
It earned it too because it sets it up earlier in the movie with Lil Newsy's I Got Five on it. I really like the songs that I didn't know were gonna be in the movie, and I almost don't want to spoil it. If you don't want it spoiled, skip ahead 10 seconds. But when Good Vibrations kicks in from Beach Boys, I gave people no time to skip ahead.
Oh, that was a great yes. Yeah. That was well played.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the music was good in this movie. So, he knows how to pick it.
Yeah.
He knows how to pick songs.
He knows a lot of things. Like, he's very smart, very intricate in the way that he makes his messages shown.
Everything is chosen for a reason, which I can respect a bunch. That goes back to your first thing you liked about Jordan Peele. He is very meticulous with what he picks.
Yes.
Second thing I liked about this movie, quickly, the acting in this movie I thought was amazing. Lupita Nyong'o playing both roles, she really just brings it. From a physical standpoint, to the point where you forget that it's two different people, but it's the same person acting it.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's like, it seems like two completely different actresses.
That must have been so hard to film, but I did read up on a little bit of this movie, and she said that because the way she changed her voice, she actually based it off of the word I'm trying to look for.
Pretty graphic for NBC.
I know. I thought the same thing. It's like a voice condition.
Yeah.
And basically...
Laryngitis?
And she had to learn it from a voice coach of how to do this. And she... Because if it could be so detrimental to your voice.
I believe that.
So she had to get professional advice on how to get it done and how to do it the right way and safe way. As she put it.
So she was great at acting. The kids were great at acting.
Yeah, the little boy was very... I would disagree with you on all this.
See, I thought that their acting was...
Subpar for me.
They were acting very realistic to the situation that they were dealt. Like, the kids that were acting, they were frozen with fear. And they're able to kind of work through that and convey so much without even having to talk. Because there's a lot of times in this movie where the kid actors don't even have to talk. And these are, again, I don't know what the ages of some of these kids are. One of them, the girl, she plays Nala on Broadway in The Lion King.
She's a fantastic actor.
I think she's going to be the voice of Nala, too. I'm not entirely sure, though. I didn't do my research. But these kids are able to convey so much with their facial reactions and their physical acting that... is impressive when you remember that, like, when I was their age, like, I didn't know, like, how to tie my own shoes, especially the little boy. And the little girl is going to be a star, too.
That little girl did a good job.
And then Winston Duke, I thought I was a fan of his before, but I'm a huge Winston Duke fan after this. You might know him best from Black Panther. He's one of the leaders of, I think, one of the Wakanda, I don't know what the groups of people are called in Wakanda. Clans, tribes, families.
I have no idea.
He's in this movie as the dad, and he plays, like, watching him reminded me of my own father and how he would react in situations, like making corny jokes, doing dad humor, trying to be fun.
See, I felt the dad humor was pushed.
Oh no, I didn't think so. I thought it was that. Honestly, like the whole thing, I was like, yeah, I've heard my dad say these things before, and like my dad being goofy, down to the fact that he had glasses similar to my dad in the 90s. Dad, I know when you listen to this, like, I hope you're not weirded out by this, but seeing this guy on stage, I was like, I feel like I'm watching my dad from 20 years ago, which is weird to say because I remember 20 years ago, I'm 27 now, and I remember when I was 7. There you go. That's how time works.
Do you remember when I was standing at the edge of your driveway at night?
Yeah, terrifying. Dude, we've seen the strangers. So yeah, Winston Duke, he was one of my favorites of this movie.
You were right, by the way, that girl is going to be young Nala.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't believe you knew that.
I heard it on a podcast. Anyway, Boyle, do you have one final thing that you like before we go on to things you didn't like?
One final thing I liked.
You pretty much hit on all the things I liked.
The tension
they built throughout this movie, that's one thing I liked, and that was the final thing I was going to say.
The one thing I do enjoy, even though a lot of people don't enjoy this,
hot take coming.
I mean, I wish there was a little bit more explanation of what was going on.
Oh, I see where you're going with
this. To make clarity, but I do enjoy looking up afterwards. I like looking up what did I miss? The underlying themes, the morals, Jordan Peele's vision. I like knowing all that afterwards.
Like, for instance, did you know A Christmas Story is really about the War of 1812? There you go.
It's a hot take.
I'm totally lying.
No, of course you are.
I made that up 1,000%.
In that sort of esque, like, I just find that I like being able to find things out after I see it so that I'm not judging a movie the whole time based upon what I already know. Mm. I like to, okay, did I? And when I looked up this article afterwards, I didn't look it up. It kind of just like fell in my lap. But literally, it kind of was able to really explain some things I guess I didn't fully understand. Mm-hmm. So
it's probably the fun of some movies take, these days.
I'm going to just go out there right now and I'm going to just throw out.
Is everybody sitting down? Wait, let's give everyone a second. If you're not sitting right now, sit down. He's about to give you a hot take.
My rating when I walked out of the theater was I wasn't scared. I felt like kind of just numb the whole movie. And I just walked out and was like, yeah, like 6, maybe 6.5, but 6 mm-hmm. Out of 10 kernels. And I remember texting you, and I texted, okay, you know, our good friend Mark, who's also been on the show before.
And he'll be featured at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, you got rid of that thing in your hair.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, you did. Nice. Now I don't know where it is, though.
And I was just thinking, like, you know what? This is okay. You know, like, I'm going to need to see it again. And sure enough, now after I read up on it, I was like, oh, my God. I definitely need to see it again because I feel like I'm going to take more away from it a second time and appreciate it a little bit more. After reading alone what I read, it's a Rotten Tomato. If you go on Rotten Tomato, they have an editorial, you know, after they had sat down with Peele on some stuff, too.
Peele.
But
like, he's his friend.
Yeah, like we're buds. But you would have said the same thing if I said Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta say full name.
So, and the only thing that I took away was, okay, I definitely meant, like I said, I missed some parts. I didn't understand things. There were some cooler things underlying that I'm like, oh, okay. But would that bump it up to maybe a 7? Sure. Like, I felt like, okay, now I get it. Now it resonated better with me. Just like Get Out. Like when I saw Get Out, I loved it though. And then I saw it a second time. I was like, I still love it. This is a great movie. This movie to me was the first time I was like, okay. And now after reading things and seeing it a second time, I think I'll be like, okay, that was a good movie.
So that goes into what maybe I didn't like so much about this movie. And it's maybe something I didn't necessarily like about Get Out, which I also thought was good. And my brother Marcus asked me the other day, what do you like more, this or Get Out? And I'm like, I'm a prisoner of the moment. Like at the time when I saw it, I was like, I think I enjoyed Us a little bit more because the message wasn't so hitting me in the face as much as Get Out was, even though I think Get Out is a better movie. So it's kind of...
Yeah, this one's way more underlying, and I can appreciate this one way more.
Because that's the thing. So again, going back to my issues with the movie is, I feel like Jordan Peele, and he's very vocal in interviews too, like the message of his movies, if he's not hitting you over the head with it in the script of the movie, like he's making sure you know about it as soon as you see the movie afterwards. And it's like, all right, man, like I don't like... The movie can just be the movie and like left to our interpretation. Like with Get Out, like you know the message of the movie, like it's constantly hitting you over the head. Like this is like, you know.
Yeah, but this one definitely needed explanation.
I don't think movies, and this is where sometimes you and I disagree, which is okay, that like I don't need the metaphor to be so laid out to us. Like in the beginning of the movie when they ask the doppelgangers, who are you guys? We're Americans. It's like...
But okay, Us like didn't I get... lay it out, though.
Yeah, it did.
I disagree, because there were things I read afterwards that I totally didn't pick up on with, like, metaphors with, like, the holding hands and the art.
With the Hands Across America thing?
And I didn't catch on that when I watched it. Or, like, what scissors she mean.
Cuts the ties.
And why scissors were used. Yeah, like, all that stuff. Like, I never got that from watching it the first time. That all afterwards, I'm like... oh my gosh, like, okay, that makes way more sense. Like,
yeah, I don't like, I
that,
like it.
So I disagree. I don't like when movies are
like, here's the logic behind what happened in this movie too, like on two levels.
To me, that's an Easter egg though.
One, I don't want movies that are explaining to me their metaphor, and I don't like movies being like, this is the logic behind what, like, for instance, like this is, I'm not comparing this to Hot Tub Time Machine, but I didn't like, the reason why I like Hot Tub Time Machine is they don't get into like, this is how time travel is possible. And like, that, or like, wait a minute, would this still be possible if so-and-so did that? They're just like, whatever. Like, that's not the point. Like, we're just here to have a good time. And, like, with Us, like, I don't need to be explained, and this, I'm not giving away the spoiler, I don't need to be explained what the motivations of those people are, and I don't need to know, like, the motivation of that person. Like, I don't need to know those. Like, I'm creeped out as it is that these people exist, and I almost like the mystery of being like, who are these people? You know what I mean? Because I think the more you explain, the more
you lend yourselves to plot holes. And that's like one of my biggest thing about this movie is just the who are you guys? Like, we're Americans. Like, that line, I was like, I get it. Like, Us is really just a movie about, like, we as Americans, like, realizing, like, maybe we need to not point the fingers at the enemy. Maybe we are our own enemy at times, and we need to point the fingers at ourselves and correct ourselves and see the other side of ourselves before we are quick to pass judgment on others. And it's like, we get it, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that
line. You got it.
Yeah, but that line, like, he's so badly wants to, like, and, like, other movies.
Because he.
They so badly want to, like, here you go. Here's the message. Like, we're going to spoon feed it to you. Like, this is what this movie's about.
And I think, like, that was, like, for someone like me that during the movie was like, if you don't get it at this point, I'm going to at least lay it out and let you specifically know what you should focus on.
It's and a strategy that's made Steven Spielberg very popular. His movie's very popular.
Yeah. But my point earlier was, it's like when I watch any Avengers movie, I love the little Easter egg. Okay, like, what was the beeper at the end of the show, the end of the movie? Oh, it was a Captain Marvel Easter egg. Like,
how about the Easter eggs of what the VHS tapes are at the beginning of the movie?
So I love that too.
So I'm assuming you read about
them? Yes, I read about that. But, like, so to bring it to that, like, that stuff you wouldn't know unless you look up. So I only looked
at the right side of the TV and not the left side. I wish I did.
But it's like, so funny. You knew when the TV was coming up to look at it. I was looking at
I don't know who I talked to. I think I was telling DeSisto, like, when I watch a movie, I'm not necessarily watching for what's going to happen next. I'm scanning the entire screen for, like,
clues.
Not only clues, but what the director is trying to be like, what are they trying to tell me with each frame?
Yes. Totally.
So now, quickly, because we want to be quick on this podcast, you told me another thing you didn't like was, like, some, like, the acting felt forced. You told me that in text the other day. I wanted you to say it on the podcast.
Yeah, I just didn't. Besides,
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, besides her, I just felt that everyone else's acting wasn't.
Well, like Tim Heidecker and Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah,
they were a little cartoony, I will admit. But again, like, it almost feels like it fits the vibe of Jordan Peele movies of white people coming across as a little cartoonish in his movies. Yeah. I will say that. Like, and that family was a very cartoonish, like, here's how maybe some people view white people. I got a little bit of that, which I'm okay with. I thought in this movie, it's kind of funny. Tim Heidecker is hysterical, and, like, just those two just hating each other, I thought was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
But yeah, like, their acting was kind of like, oh my God, these guys are, like, so annoying. Like, who would want to be friends with them? I don't know. Is that what you were kind of talking about? Or are you talking about more? So you thought, like, the dad jokes were a little much?
Yeah, I thought they were forced, and I just didn't, like, you don't need it. I thought that they took away, like, I know what you're saying about, like, how it made it more seem realistic, not realistic, but, like, yeah, in a sense, like, okay, they were in that scenario, maybe somebody would make a light joke or something, but, like, I think it took away from the seriousness and of the thriller itself.
Does the acting,
you're throwing a joke in, I'm like, all right, what? Now you just lost me. That was stupid.
Does the acting impress you a little bit more knowing that he's also being the doppelganger of himself? Who can't speak and has to grunt and kind of physically seem more imposing than the dad version of himself. To me, that's what's incredible about the acting is he had to play two versions of himself. One being like this, you know, fun, maybe not so aggressive father who's hurt. And this other one being this aggressive.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it had to be too, like, for him, it had to be very drastic and almost forced, whereas
that's what impresses me about the acting so much.
See, for her, I thought, like, it was two different people, so that impressed me. But only her, I can't compliment everyone
else
on that.
Even the sons and the daughter, like, think about the other version of the son is incredible. He can't even speak at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's amazing what he's able to do. You're, like, terrified by him.
I was more intrigued. I knew that they had some sort of connection the whole time, so.
Daughter staring too was amazing.
The daughter, she did a good job, but I feel like all she did was, like, kind of just make a huge creepy smile face, and, like, that was it. Like,
how is she able to do that without it coming across as funny, but it actually is scary? Like, that's impressive to me.
True.
I'm here to defend the acting in this movie.
I'm not saying it was awful. I don't know what it was.
You told me the other day forced, and I was like, wow, that's interesting, because I didn't interpret it that way.
And I just felt when I was watching it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess you're saying, like, the dialogue you felt forced. Or no?
No. No, just the way their characters came off at first. I wasn't thrilled about the family side of it. And it just felt like it was for a while that I didn't understand where the movie was trying to go with it. And then after I watched the whole thing, I was like, all right, that was the trailer. And I was kind of shocked.
So that was another thing we were like, Boyle, you watched the trailer so many times.
I mean, not so many times. Let's call it four times. Disagree. But still, like four or five. Like, I'm just very tired of seeing movies and trailers, and then like you go to the movie and you're like, okay, wow, that literally saw all of it. Like, I love
you gotta do what we do, which is show up right as the movie starts, as soon as the popcorn thing happens in the showcase.
And then like Avengers comes and you're like, you know, something like that. And I know, I'm so sorry I keep referencing that. But like, for example, the Avengers movie, like, you saw the first, and there's been a few other movies, it's just the one I can think of off the top of my head. The trailer's the first 5 minutes of the movie, and you don't know what else is coming. Like, I like that perspective. Don't show me the whole movie. Yeah. And you could literally go back and watch the trailer, and you'd be like, oh, wow, it really was, like, almost the entire movie.
And I just watched one. I just watched one trailer.
I was expecting something so much more, and the only something more was the end scene. The last 5 minutes was something you didn't see.
What, with us?
Yep.
I'm very thankful I only watched one trailer. Oh, the family picture. Is that, who posted that? Oh, E! News? Share that with me. That's great.
But.
They were
the most realistic family, though. I'll give you that.
Yeah, before we give the rating and our final thoughts about it, I just want to say, halfway through the movie, I was thinking, like, it is so awesome that we got a movie where it was a black family was the lead, and they're not... They're in a good movie, and it's them being portrayed as just normal people, which is, I hate to say it, but like refreshing that we have movies that are doing, because I just feel like for so long, the black family is either like the neighbor or the secondary, and we don't really get to see what it's like. And it's just like, good. Like, people should know, like, that everyone is deep down at their core the same and love their families at the end of the day, and we're not so different. As Americans, we all care about our families and we make the same kind of jokes no matter what color we are. Yep. And I thought that was really cool. And so Boyle, final rating. I give mine an 8 kernels out of 10 on the Fisher scale. Really liked this movie a lot. Enjoyed it. Saw it at IMAX.
I'm going to tell you I'm going to end up giving it a 7.
Oh, damn.
But I lean towards 7.5, 8, you know, if I see it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing I might appreciate it even more.
Yeah.
Like I said, I first walked out of there, initial reaction was 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
But after reading, seeing things that I truly just didn't understand, and, you know, you asked a good question, which was to me, and maybe you can phrase it the right way for me, but is it stuff that was like laid out? What was the words you used? Like, it wasn't...
Spoon-fed?
No. When I said to you, oh, I read up on stuff, and you said, it's not like... theories, it's, or is it legit things?
I was like, are you saying, like, was this metaphors, or were you reading something that literally was on the screen?
Literally on the screen, that's right. And I felt that maybe I just was overwhelmed the first time I saw it or something, but I truly reading into it, I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense now. Oh, okay, the Hands Across America thing. Okay, now I understand her character, and I kind of had understood that. And like, even Mark made a point, like, oh, that twist was like totally like obvious or whatever.
That's what, that's what I like about you, Boyle, is after you see a movie, you do your homework on it afterwards.
I have to, which I enjoy doing that, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. Like, even after Endgame finishes, I know that, like,
I can't wait to see it and just day, not, never just... think about it again.
Yeah.
I've only seen Infinity War once. I know.
Get out of here.
I know.
So anyways, my final rating was a 7 out of 10 kernels.
Now, is it see it in theaters, see it, wait for it to stream, or never see it?
I still think you have to see this one in the theater.
I think horror movies are the best in theaters.
Yeah, especially his movies.
Yes, that's true. Shared experiences are always better.
But again, most people aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
Because then when it comes to horror, people don't know what type of... People can't trust other people's versions of horror.
Yeah, this so is like, an elevated horror
like,
movie.
For instance, you this know, before...
Like, this isn't like The Nun.
No, before, so we were talking to somebody else who was talking about how they were jumping the whole time. And I was like, I didn't jump once. I wasn't scared at all. Right. Like, everyone internalizes horror a different way.
That's a great point.
So it's like, it's up to you. I don't think this is scary like exorcism and ghost and stuff. It's not like that. And it's not overly as violent as they make it seem. Like it's there's some violence, but somebody was like the goriest horror movie of all time. Like I didn't find that.
Did someone say that about Us?
Yeah. Like before it came out, it was one of the first screeners.
I saw a headline that said Halsey nearly passed out three times. I was like, what is this headline? I was like, where would she?
Yeah, that's weird.
There are things that happen in this movie that are in stark contrast to the 3 seconds before something happens. Like something will happen. You'll go, oh, let me do that again.
Oh. I just think.
We see it in theaters. Maybe on a bargain Tuesday if you're still on the fence about it. Because I feel by the time this podcast is released.
Or Saturday daytime.
I think most of the people who wanted to see this will see it.
I think by this point it's done.
We got to move on. We're 25 minutes into this movie. Let's go over Gotti real quick. We had to see if it'll be in our podcast. John Travolta movie.
This will be a fine
about the life of Gotti. John Gotti, the Teflon Don, the head of the Gambino crime family from, I don't know, I think he took over in the late 80s, something. I don't know. This movie takes place from like early 70s to 2009. This movie was nominated for a Razzie for Worst Film of 2018. Boy, and I saw it. We saw it over dinner. And I have to say, as a communal experience at home, it's very funny with how bad it is. The music makes no sense. John A. Gotti is played by someone who was born in 1992. He doesn't age one bit from 1979 to 2009 in the movie. He might get some like gray hairs, I think, in some of the later scenes that take place in like the...
Wait, what do you mean? Every other scene?
No, I think like later in the movie, like I'm like, does he have a little bit of gray hair? Or is that the lighting in the movie? He doesn't age at all. The makeup for John Travolta is just all over the map. Crazy tone. His accent is all over the place. The lines of this movie are awful. The way this movie was shot on video looks terrible. And yet I had a blast. 3 out of 10 on the Fisher scale. 3 out of 10.
I honestly don't have much to say on it. 2 out of 10 for me.
Would you recommend people watch this even as a joke?
No.
Really?
Nope.
I think
I honestly agreed with what Michaela had said was like you and I can only see so many movies together nowadays. You're and right. Like I feel like we lost fair and square.
Yeah.
But like we suffered, dude. Like like literally we could have watched something so much fun. We could have made like the night enjoy a movie of some sort.
I enjoyed this.
Even if it was something that like we haven't had already seen, I would have rather watched something else than.
You know what though? We got to watch the bad movies to understand what makes a good movie good.
You know what I'm saying? Say that. Sure.
So seeing this, I'm like, man, like we only go see good movies in theaters. Because there's some.
So it's gonna be like, how was your Wednesday night? I'm gonna be like, well, I enjoyed my time with my friends, but the movie we watched was a flop.
Let me tell you, Sherlock Holmes was way worse.
I honestly think it would probably be better.
I saw both. I've seen both now.
I know.
Sherlock Holmes was offensive because it was trying to be funny and it wasn't. This movie wasn't even trying to be funny and it was funny. Does that make sense?
Funny because it was confusing. So just to throw out some cons and pros real quick.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to waste my time.
Some crows and prawns.
One thing I'm going to say is pros, Pitbull was like the entire soundtrack. Con,
Fireball
it made
plays at one point
no
in 1984.
It made no sense with the time
Fireball
periods.
Didn't come out for another, I'm
oh
not even
my
kidding,
God.
30 years.
They did so many time warps and time, like, time, not
there's
time
there's so many
warps,
flashbacks,
like,
flash forwards. This year.
It just was like, and then sometimes they did the flash forwards with dates and times, and then other times there was nothing. So you're just supposed to know that they hopped back to a different period.
I think we missed like the frame at the beginning that says like this is them talking in 1990, whatever, 98
whatever.
Or whatever. And I would have been like, I would have loved to have been reminded this every now and then because I was just.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't go 98 to 99, but then they go back to 68 for a quick scene and then go back. It's like. No, you've already moved forward. You can't go back again.
Keep going back to 98.
And then
it's like 1979.
I also point out that I
80, 81,
hated,
1998.
Dude, I hated people's names would pop up and you're just supposed to know who these people are.
They just kept introducing
and
people.
They didn't even put like Joe Bobbio and like, you know, John's uncle. It just
dude,
was like a name
in one
and you're just supposed to know.
Other.
Yeah, you're just supposed to know them.
Here's the thing though. I appreciate them trying to do that, but it did not stick.
No,
I did not care.
It just
That's so terrible. 3 out of 10, you give it a 2 out of 10. That's very fair. Anybody who gives this, like, really, I gave it a 3 just because of, like, I had a fun time watching it with you guys. I give it a 3.
I think that the son had some really good aging cream we need to find.
Oh my god, yeah. It's really amazing. He's our age. All right.
This has probably been the worst monotone I've ever had for a podcast.
Did you see anything else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Overlord.
Oh yeah.
I give it a 7 out of 10. A solid 7. I
saw your Letterboxd review.
Really good.
Didn't expect to
like it, but I watched it on my plane and thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I haven't used that word
in a while.
So just to throw that in there, like, think about that. That was a good, like, I enjoyed myself.
A good plane watch, everybody. It was
a good
you take Southwest? 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can watch movies on your phone now, which is awesome.
That's what we did.
Yeah, it's legit.
But JetBlue's better. It's on the screen. I like that better. Yeah,
I have a Southwest credit card, so.
So do I. Yeah. I don't use it anymore.
I'm using the points.
Also, sorry. I saw something that I think that you will greatly enjoy, and I think other viewers will greatly enjoy as well. I watched the Bill Murray stories. Have you seen this?
No.
It's actually called, just so I can, it's called The Bill Murray Stories, Life Lessons Learned from a Mythical Man. It is on Prime, and I watched it again on 2 separate plane rides because I wasn't able to finish it. And it was awesome. It was such an enjoyable documentary.
Yeah.
And it was it's not too long either. It was only, where's the time frame on this? 1 hour and 10 minutes. And all it looks at is Bill Murray and it's stories of him just randomly showing up to things.
Yeah, that's what he loves to do.
And he loves to do this, but it breaks him down as a person and as a human being. And honestly, the whole movie, Nick, I literally just sat with a smile on. I was so just thoroughly happy and just like, this is so cool. Like, if I was a celebrity, that's exactly what I would want to do. Just like, tonight we're watching a movie and he would just show up and sit down and he wouldn't try to be the life of the show and try to put this big, you know, show on for everyone that I'm Bill Murray and I'm here. He would just want to sit and just be a part of what you were doing. Yeah. And that's it.
He just wants
and
to be
blend
mix.
Right in. And I love that. And it was cool and very humbling to see this, hear this. And it wasn't one story. It was many. And there's one after the credits too. It was awesome.
You got a post-credit scene for a documentary?
Yep.
Trust you.
Very enjoyable, man. You got to watch it.
So last podcast we did, we saw Captain Marvel. Since then, I've seen several movies, both in varying quality and time frame. I saw Reality Bites from 1994. Give it a 6 out of 10. Okay, mm-hmm. Movie. Not made for us. I saw The Graduate, which is on the AFI Top 100 list. I give it a 4.5 out of 5 from 1967. The very first half of this movie is very relatable, very funny. Just like being like, fresh out of college and just like unsure of yourself and just like nervous all the time. Classic movie, The Graduate. Did not go into direct. I only knew about really like what ended up being only the first half of the movie.
I saw The Graduate in high school.
The second half of the movie, you're just like, oh, like, wait a minute. I thought this was going to be just about him and Mrs. Robinson the whole time. It's not.
Nope.
I saw Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in preparation for the third movie that's coming out next year. I'm going to see the next one soon. It's on Amazon Prime until the end of the month, so I got to hurry up. I saw Pretty Woman last night. I haven't finished it yet. I need 50 minutes to go, but I've seen bits and pieces of the
whole movie. I was wondering
why
you didn't do anything on Letterboxd for that.
I didn't give a rating yet. I can't give a rating.
I noticed. Okay.
And lastly, I saw the latest Netflix movie, which I think might be relevant to some people who have Netflix, because who doesn't have Netflix, who's listening to this podcast. Triple Frontier. It's the newest movie that has been in production since
2010.
Did you hear about that on Lights, Camera, Varsity? That's right. Tom Hanks initially. Imagine Tom Hanks' movie.
Dude, that cast changed so many times.
Mark Wahlberg, like Matt Damon.
It was like every star in the business, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. They don't make movies like this anymore, and I bet you this time is going to be good. Best of Enemies. Sam Rockwell and...
that's going to be cool.
The other woman that's really famous. Anyway, so Triple Frontier. Quickly, it stars Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, Charlie Hunnam, Garrett Hedlund, and Pedro Pascal. Great cast.
Great cast.
I'll be honest with you. Enjoyed this movie. I saw it on Netflix. I saw it at home, comforted at home, these Netflix original movies, which I like. So I'm able to just like kind of like being my home cocoon in my bed, which I think adds half a point, honestly, to any movie. It's a movie about these guys who kind of go in for like one more job in the jungles of a South American country, I can't quite remember, to steal money from this drug lord that one of the guys has been like trying to pursue over the past few years. And the break into the drug lord's house happens within the first 30 minutes of the movie, which was surprising. And then the rest of the movie deals with the ramifications of that. And I'll leave it at that. And this movie was tense at times, although I thought the stakes and the storyline were a little bit thin. And the writing was a little bit thin, but I liked the acting. The way these guys delivered these lines was really good. The set pieces for this movie, the shot locations that they went to, looked honestly breathtaking, like how beautiful they looked. 7 out of 10. So yeah. Do I recommend it to people? Only if you like 80s action movies that aren't as over the top and you just enjoy action movies that don't make you think, then you'll enjoy this movie.
Okay. I started it. I didn't finish it.
You need to be wide awake to start.
Well, that's watching. So we started watching it, and I was just all of a sudden like,
you can't start it at night.
Nope.
Julia.
No way. Right? I'm not kidding. I started at like a 9 o'clock and
no
I,
way. No.
We started at 9 o'clock once, and I was, we actually tried watching it in bed, and I like just started like eyes in the you back can't. Of
it's
bed.
A, it's
I was
a
like,
quiet movie.
Going to bed.
It's a quiet movie. So yeah. If you watch it, if you're going to choose to watch it, Saturday morning movie or.
Oh, okay. Something good advice like there.
There you go.
I did forget I also saw Night School.
Oh, yeah. You did not like it. You did not like it at all.
Kevin Hart. No, I had to be real about it because.
Okay. I saw your letter.
I will tell you something. I did enjoy watching it. I laughed a lot.
Yes.
But you couldn't give it a high score.
Right.
So you just have to accept.
I gave it a 2.5 out of 5. You gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
We weren't that far off.
No. And I think, like, I really did laugh. Like, my favorite scene is when they're jumping from building to building.
And Rob Riggle.
And he falls. and he's like, oh, your arm is not supposed to bend that way. Like, I don't know why, dude. I was dying.
Rob Riggle's
like,
our guy.
You saw a lot of Here's stuff in the trailer, but it was just.
Worst thing you can say about Kevin Hart movies is that it just wasn't good, but you can never say it wasn't funny. You can't ever say, like, I didn't laugh at that at all.
No, I agree.
There's something about him when he's in movies that you're just like, you're already like halfway towards a laugh.
Yeah.
And they'll just say something. You're just like, I gotta get it. But it's not, like you said, it's not a good movie, but I enjoyed it. I left the theater being like,
again, you're like, all right, well, I saw it
in theaters.
You're not mad at yourself.
Right. You're like, I didn't.
No, see, I'm mad about Gotti.
Yeah. You're mad. You were steaming red earlier. You were so mad. Your skin was peeling. I'm just kidding. It was the mask we were wearing.
Yes, it was. So we've seen some stuff. Just for rating purposes, Night School, I gave a 4 out of 10. And on the Bill Murray, I gave it out of 10. And what was the other one that I
Overlord,
said?
Overlord. You gave Overlord 7 out of 10. 10.
And all that's my wrap up.
Follow the show on Twitter, at the BNR Podcast on Twitter. At the Boylan Ross Podcast on Instagram. We're going to send it now to 2 reviews, one from Mark DeSisto and one from my mom and dad on the movie Us. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Hey, Nick and Nick. How's it going? It's your buddy Mark. Sorry I couldn't be on the premises for the review, but let's get into Us. Now, I saw it in IMAX. I was dialed in. I was very excited for this. A lot of hype. Now, there will be spoilers in my review, so please prep the listeners for that in case anyone hasn't listened to it yet. But let's get right into it. Now, I love Jordan Peele and what he's doing, directing, writing, and producing these movies. I think he's doing an exceptional job. Now, the critics were saying, how this is like the scariest movie of the year or pretty much ever. Along those lines. Now, I disagree. Now, although it was scary, I was expecting, like, Exorcist-level, like, unprecedented horror. And we didn't really get that. I thought that the storyline and the character development was much better. Now, this is where I get into the spoiler portion of my review. I thought it was obvious what was going to happen is that I said to myself immediately after the, she walks into the mirror house, I was like, they flipped. I was like, they definitely, you know, switched. I knew that. And I thought that's why she was so terrified to go back. That she thought, you know, there was a potential that the other one was kind of just waiting there and didn't know how to get her. Other clues that gave it away and affirmed my opinion of that moving on was, you know, when the, we'll call them the bizarro ones or the shadow ones. We'll call shadow ones. The shadow ones, when they show up, she's the only one who could really talk. And that was kind of a dead giveaway. You know, how come this one has the ability to talk, but none of the others can? Obviously they flipped. Next, this is actually a theory. There's a chance, this is kind of deep. This is a little bit of a stretch. I will be open to criticisms on this one, but there's a theory going around online that, that the son, the little boy, is potentially, you know, a flipped one too. Because remember how she had the soft spot for the kids. She didn't want the kids to die, and I thought that was another giveaway. Again, another hat tip to the ending twist there. But the kid was burned. His mouth was burned. So that's why he couldn't talk. So there's a potential that, you know, maybe, you know, somehow she flipped the kids. Because she knows how it is in the bizarro world. And she wanted to save, like, the shadow son or something, but something happened. Or the above-ground kid got burned. There was that horrible accident. And then she flipped him then, so she could have a normal kid. So I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that. But overall, again, the dad was just phenomenal. I'm going to say A-plus dad work by him. The dad jokes, unbelievable. The girl was okay. She was good. But I just think the acting in that movie was amazing. The storyline was great. The twist was good, not great, because I felt it was predictable. So now to the grading portions. I told Boyle earlier that I was giving it a hard 7. Upon review and, you know, getting time to thinking about it, I'm going to go with a soft 8. I think it was a soft 8, just because it was so well done. The music selection for the entire movie throughout it, I thought was just spot on. You know, really nailing the aspects of the scene and what it meant at that time. So I'm going soft 8. So thanks, guys. Let me know what you think.
This is Cookie and
Kristen.
And this is us. And what did we just see?
Us.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, A, thought it was a fun movie. B, definitely worth seeing in IMAX. Thank you, Nick, for the suggestion, Nick Rojas. And I walked out of there scratching my head, but I know I had a good time. And I kind of knew what was going on. No spoilers here. And I was kind of right. And, you know, what did you think?
Well, I'm impressed. You
saw that at
the beginning. And a suspenseful ride.
Definitely not going to Santa Cruz.
No.
Isn't that where Lost Boys was too?
Was it?
Or was that Santa Monica?
I don't know.
Anything Santa... California, I'm not going anything along. Yeah, we're not going there. Vampires or whatever the hell this was.
No. I just wonder what goes on in Jordan Peele's brain.
As I think I mentioned at the end of the movie, you can tell that Jordan Peele is a big fan of The Twilight Zone.
Yes. Yeah.
Without a doubt. So.
Suspend reality and go for the ride.
Yeah. How many things do we do it out of 10?
I don't know.
I think it's out of 10, right? Yeah, I'm going to give it it 8 kernels.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
What are you going to give it?
I'll go with that.
All right. That's us. Get it? That's us. Have a good one, guys. Bye.